Blog Talk Radio.
Against my hollow bones that rocks my soul. Oh, 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 oh. Looking back over my false dreams that I once knew, wondering why my dreams never came true. Is it because I'm black? Somebody tell me, what can I do? Oh, Lord. Oh, something is holding me back. Is it because I'm black? Yeah. In this world of no pity, I was raised. Mama, she worked so hard to earn every penny, yeah, yeah. Oh, Lord. Something is holding me back. Is it because I'm black? Is it because I'm black? Oh, somebody tell me, what can I do? Will I survive or will I die?
Welcome to Conversations with Greg Lassiter and Nat Wood here at G-Radio in New York City. We can find your classic soul and R&B music. So, guys, you know what? We're back. You know what? This guy really doesn't need an introduction, but we'll give him one anyway because, you know what? This guy, he is before his time. He really is before his time. And I want to bring – hold on. Let's give him a round of applause. Okay, let's give him a round of applause. If you guys can see me, I'm giving him a stand ovation as well. Nat Wood, my dude. What's up, Nat?
What's up, brother? Round of applause is usually reserved for women when I'm leaving.
Oh my God! Now we have some guys. You know what? We were supposed to do TV today, but you know I was running late, so we will do TV tomorrow. So tonight we're going to talk about so many things. I want to get right into it. Now let's talk about Simone. Simone.
Oh, Simone Biles. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about her and the critics. You know, why is it that white we think what we have to answer to the white critics, if you know what I mean. Everybody got something to say because she had some issues and she wanted to buy out. They didn't do that when, what's his name, the swimmer, when he had some mental issues and he bought out. But it seems like that it's a different ball game when it comes to black people. What do you think?
I think that it doesn't matter what white folks think. It doesn't even matter if she has mental issues. First of all, Simone Biles, whether white folks like it or not, there are no white equivalents to Simone Biles. There are no Asian equivalents. There are no Latin equivalents. There is only one Simone. There has only ever been one Simone.
Right.
But apparently white people think that black people need their permission to do anything.
Right. Their approval.
Give you an explanation for why she didn't want to play in your playground. She gave you one, but she didn't owe you one. She could have just said, I'm bowing out, like it or not.
Right.
Everybody
has
an opinion about somebody else's gift.
Right.
The gift is not you.
And that's the thing that, and you know what, since 2016, white supremacy, guys, have been around for centuries. But since the Trump era, it has become out front and blatant. And people think that because, you know, we used to negotiate white supremacy. Now it's a whole different ball game. We're not negotiating. We're just bum rushing and we're not having it. And then white people think that, okay, we're radical. Or when we start carrying guns, it's wrong. You see what I'm saying?
First of all, it's not simply just because Trump stirred up the savages. In point of fact, historically, especially in the history of this country, and we won't even go past the history of this country.
Right.
But within the history of this country, white supremacy was cocksure of itself. It was cocksure of the fact that it would rule, it would be the face of God in perpetuity. It is now panicked beyond belief. First of all, white people in the only great empire, the only true empire left on the face of the earth, America.
Right.
White people is an old, dying, dope fiend demographic.
It really is. And it's at a panic stage. They're in a desperate, and people, please understand this. Because a lot of people don't understand this. There is a big difference in white supremacy and racism, all right? Don't get white supremacy and racism mixed up because they're not. There's a difference. And Nat, you want to explain the difference?
Well, first of all, white supremacy is singular. White supremacy is the pecking order that has designated top-down white male, but white people is face of God on earth. the ultimate overall decision makers in all of the planet.
Right.
That is coming to a close. First of all, they can't control their women. They can't control who their women marry, who they breed with. And unlike every other, I hate to say race, because race is not a true designation. There's only one race. But every person of color, black is in perpetuity. White is only contingent upon white folks breeding with white folks.
Is not a race though. White is not a race.
The concept of race was invented basically to justify the pecking order of slavery. The domination of Africans. But it was made up. It was made up by Carl von Linnaeus Samuel Cartwright.
Because there's one race. There's only one race. One race is the human race.
There is only one race. There is only one race. The human race.
Right. That's exactly right.
But the problem is that white defines itself as pure white.
Right.
And pure white cannot sustain itself. Cannot sustain itself, especially in a world of jet planes and international travel. when you had all the white women trapped in a cabin somewhere on the prairie land, you could beat the hell of her out of her and designate the fact that she couldn't see nobody but your ass. Now she got her own credit card, her own passport, and her own ideas. They cannot control people marrying, white people marrying people who are not white. Control those same people having babies. And by their own definition, I mean, that definition was so rigid that they had a one black rule. Yeah, I mean, Jesus Christ, you know, nobody else got a one black rule. What the hell is that? How do you come up with this stuff?
And someone sits around and think of this shit. You know, people think of this shit. And, you know, that's what blows my mind. And they come up with this incredible shit, and people buy into it. People buy into this bullshit. And that's why I tell people, Nat and I tell you all the time, guys, you don't have to believe anything we say. Do your own homework. Do your own fucking homework. Do your homework and read and know your history. Because, you know, I mean, and as you see, Nat, what happened with the insurrection is that, I'm still trying to figure this out. They stormed the Capitol. Why did white men storm the Capitol? This is how desperate and white men are in America is because they're the last of the dying breed, and they think that their power is being taken. Hence the insurrection that happened at the Capitol. I'm like, what I'm trying to think, you know, what is it so bad that white men have? What is it so bad that you don't have? That you got to storm the Capitol? Think about it.
Well, he had everything, but he's not just facing a loss of power. He is facing extinction. I met a whole bunch of your white female listeners right now. I got black boyfriend. Yeah,
of course.
Of course. Or a guy of color. Again, black people don't have a one-drop rule. Asians, to the best of my knowledge, ain't got no one-drop rule. This is the only bird anywhere that came up with some one-drop rule that if you take, and it don't even have to be like your parents had a drop somewhere. It can it's like some blood transfusion stuff. But they cannot sustain that. They cannot sustain.
Right.
They've done everything from inbreeding
to keep it alive.
It's over. They don't women really done with them. Don't nobody want to have no babies by Cletus.
I need you to stop now.
That little shack in Alabama until she get busted.
not even airplane fare. You say bus fare. People still ride the bus.
Not even up north. Just like one town at a time. Just like out of this town into the next town, and then I get a waitress job and get some money and get to another town.
Hey, look, isn't that a country and western song? That's a country and western song, isn't it? Okay, look. Now, as you guys know, I'm gonna move on. We'll revisit that at a later date. The vaccine, and the rise of COVID. Okay. Now, Nat, I just want to understand this. Okay, everybody that got the vaccine is not protected against the Delta variant, okay? Nobody's protected against the Delta variant. So if you're not vaccinated, and somebody is vaccinated, so you can't pretty much get COVID, okay? So I'm trying to understand, why is it that the government is so concerned about the unvaccinated? Because it doesn't make sense to me. Because look, think about this, Nat. Think about this. If you're vaccinated and I'm not vaccinated, and you supposedly can't get COVID from me since I've had it, since you've been vaccinated. So why is it that they're so concerned about the unvaccinated?
Well, according to what they say, and again, I don't know anything but what they say. And I'm not saying that what they say is true or false. I'm just saying this is what they say. Okay. According to what they say, everybody can still get COVID. But if you're vaccinated, you are 1,000 times less likely to get seriously ill or die from COVID. That there have been deaths, but in the overall scheme of things, it's a negligible amount. It's like, you know, 1 in 1,000,000. Okay, fine. I'm kind of with you at this stage. Everyone who is either vaccinated or unvaccinated have taken a position on how they want to live their life.
Right.
And they are willing to accept whatever consequences that means. If there are consequences to getting the vaccine, people have chosen to get the vaccine, so they have chosen to accept those consequences. If there are consequences to not getting the vaccine, people have chosen to not get the vaccine and accept those consequences. There was a percentage of people who are just broke. And when you broke, trust me, take it from somebody who has been broke. This $100 thing, there was a time
right.
in my life where I'd have got five vaccines a day for that damn $100.
Right, me too. I agree with you. Because there was times in my I agree with you.
They'd have been like,
right.
Mr. Wood, did we see you today? I'm like, no, my name ain't Wood. Mantle of benefits.
Right.
I've not been
right.
here. But they have solved that problem by offering
right.
$100 to people who need $100. And
new,
only
well,
people
well, let me,
who
let,
need $100
New York.
Are going to get vaccinated for $100.
Right.
And
right.
most of those
right.
people don't care whether it works or not. They just need the
right.
they just need $100.
The $100. Right.
right, right.
And that's the thing, you know what? And that's the thing. The mayor, our illustrious mayor of New York City, is now trying, which I think is going to be unconstitutional, trying to say New York has, you know, everybody in order to go to a gym, in order to go into a restaurant, in order to go anywhere in New York in the public, you have to be vaccinated. One, it's unconstitutional. Can't do that. But he's trying to enforce that. I'm at this position right here. I mean, let me tell you right now, I'm not vaccinated. I am one of those people, I've taken the same regimen for the last 20 years, and I haven't been sick, and I've been around people that had COVID. Thank God, knock on wood, that I haven't been sick, but I've done my research. Now, you've done your research, and I've talked to, you know, I live in Harlem, and I've talked to people in Harlem, and they are pushing more than anywhere else in the city. They're pushing Harlem to get vaccinated. Now, I want to say this, people. There's a book. Nat's read it. I read it a couple times. Called Medical Apartheid.
Medical Apartheid. Right, right.
Yeah. By Harriet A. Washington. And
mm-hmm.
most people
actually document the experimentation
right.
on the medical experimentation of black people.
Right. And it wasn't just Tuskegee. And people think, oh, it's the Tuskegee. No. That book, guys, I've read that a couple of times. That book is over 500 pages long, and it tells you about what the government has done. See, call me a conspiracy theorist, but so all you got Moderna, you got Pfizer, and you got Johnson & Johnson. So throughout New York City is divided into five boroughs, okay? So they're pushing it a big, big in Harlem. So my thing is, I got to tell people, maybe it's just me, but how do you know you're getting the same vaccine in Harlem that you're getting on the Upper East Side? Think
well,
about
that's true. That's true. That's true. That's true. That's true. I'm not quite sure what's behind this desperate push to get everyone vaccinated. I'm not sure. I don't know if enough people have been vaccinated all across the nation to get this herd immunity thing that they keep talking about. But I know in New York, New York City, you know,
right.
of which I don't even count Staten Island. I don't care what happened to Staten Island. Y'all
that's a country by itself.
Yes. You can tongue kiss lepers for all I care in Staten Island. But in New York City, it is reported that they've given over 10 million vaccines to a population of about 7 million people, 7 to 8 million people.
Right.
So everybody, more than enough people got the needle in their arm. So if the needle
right.
works, we should be able to open up for business. Now, I don't know I don't know if the mayor and the governor, and we'd have to challenge that in court.
Right.
has the ability to tell everybody they have to do this or they have to do that. Certainly,
right.
As
they
employers,
don't.
They have the right to say that if you work in close proximity to people, you need to be vaccinated, although that doesn't really make sense because if
right.
the vaccine protects you, the only ones in danger are those unvaccinated people who are working
right.
With the public, not
right.
The vaccinated public.
Right.
So I'm not sure what that's all about.
Well, I think it's about money. I think it's about money, Nat. It's about money.
Yeah,
I
but
look,
they
you know,
just go back and get the damn money. What they need to do, if they're so cocksure of the vaccine, they need to ship it to a bunch of countries that ain't got the vaccine
right.
so we can open up business and I can take my ass to the Caribbean like I want to when I want to.
Yeah. Right, right.
And fly and fly to Europe with all them diseased-ass Europeans.
But the thing of it is, COVID is going to.
I'm still holding the grudge that they brought that stuff to New York City.
I agree. I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that 100%. But in New York City alone, New York, New Jersey, the tri-state area, guys, and the tri-state area we consider in New York is New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. It's been on the rise. COVID has been on the rise again.
It's
on
the rise.
Rise
everywhere. It's on the rise
yeah,
everywhere.
And especially Florida. Like, the governor of Florida, DeSantis.
Oh, Florida and Alabama are getting hit hard.
And, like, DeSantis is an idiot because the schools in Florida, public schools in Florida, have decided that kids should wear masks. And DeSantis is like, tried to overrule that and says, no, they don't have to wear masks. I literally think the governor is trying to kill everybody in Florida.
Well, I don't want to go to Florida. Ain't nothing in
Florida.
Florida. Like, oh, you know? people who escape the place I want to go to, you know, Cubans. I want to go to
right.
Cuba. I want to go to
yeah.
Florida. I want to get a drop top Chevrolet and drive through Havana. You know,
right.
Playing
out
Cuban
music. Right, right, right. Exactly.
You know,
but
I want to go to Florida. Ain't nothing but
yeah.
old folks. And, you know,
wait,
and
old people. Oh, you know, old people from New York.
Old people from New York. The same people I've been trying to get rid of all my life. Just finally
right.
moved out of New York, and you and,
right.
and you offering me to go visit them.
Hey, you know what we call Florida, right? God's waiting room. Seriously, that's what we God's waiting room. Hold on, Nat. You're listening to Conversations with Greg Lasser and Nat Wood here at G Radio, New York City, where you can find your classic soul and R&B music, the music for your soul. And that guy, you guys all know him. He's a legend. He's a genius. And I'm glad to sit across from him doing TV. Nat, let's talk about the damn gun violence in the country.
Yeah.
The gun violence. Let me tell you something. Let's just start in New York. Okay, guys, anybody, if you're not from New York, New York City and all the barrels, all the five barrels in New York City, you cannot legally possess a handgun or any kind of gun. You know, it's against the law. But we have one of the highest rates of gun violence in New York City. Now, Nat, explain that. I got some theories, but explain that.
Well, there's no law you can put on the books that a person who makes their living going against the law will respect. Anti-gun laws only work for, you know, schmucks like me. It don't work
right,
for, like,
me.
You know, gun
right.
You know. I don't really want to shoot nobody anyway. I can't have you bleeding
right.
all over my you know,
right.
you're not getting your AIDS blood on my shoes.
you might have a blood disease. Yeah, stay away from me.
Yeah,
but
they say snot and boogers give you COVID. So I don't know what your blood is.
but here's the thing, Nat. Okay, if you remember, see you guys, some of you guys may call me a conspiracy theorist, but you know what? I'm an old guy. I'll be not almost as older than that, but
yeah,
I'll be 60 in a couple of weeks, right? And I just want to say, let me digress.
Yeah, he had to figure out the lie he wanted to tell y'all.
I want to digress for a second. First of all, I want everybody to know, happy birthday, Nat. Nat's birthday was last week, a week and a half ago. Happy birthday, Nat, and we still got to celebrate your birthday. Now, moving on, the gun violence, help me out with this. In the 70s, all right, the government put drugs in the black community. That is undisputed, you know. They did that, and guys, this is not a conspiracy. The government put drugs in the black community to fund other wars around the country, around the world. That is a fact. That's a fact. That's undisputed. If you don't believe me, look it up. Now, Nat, let's talk about gun violence. Now, most people, they say, you know, you can buy guns are legal. And especially in the South, people go to Georgia and North Carolina, buy guns, bring them back to New York and sell them. Okay. Could it possibly be, and I'm just throwing this out here, that the government is putting guns in our neighborhood? Is that possible?
Well, the government does make a lot of money from the sale of guns. A whole lot of money.
Right.
And that money is circulated. All of the things that go into poverty and hopelessness in the black community is and has been since 1619 sanctioned by the United States government.
Absolutely.
Yes. The biggest problem we have, though, is not guns. There is a thing that's called the school to prison pipeline.
Yes, sir.
There should not be a school to prison pipeline. If anything, there should be a prison to school pipeline. The biggest thing that they have done to us is make us bone ignorant and self-hating.
Right. That's a fact.
That is what fuels inner city violence more than anything else.
Right.
If we were far more knowledgeable, far more, far better educated, far more focused on building our communities. If we were far less adverse to knowledge and education, everything on the media did not start and end with the word nigger.
Right.
All the guns in the world would not produce this result. In fact, we'd be very, very dangerous to white supremacy itself. Every time white supremacy has attacked black people, and Black Wall Street was not only the only black massacre in the United States. There were literally hundreds of them. And generally those massacres were fueled not by black violence or black failure, but by black success.
Right. Right. And see,
I was simply gonna say, and then I'll let you make your point. The first attack is always education.
Right.
The first attack is always to our system of information and knowledge. And remember, it was in the 60s that the United States government, and we sing it all the time, people don't know, but they made a federal law stating that black people could not sing the Negro National Anthem, Lift Every
Right
and Sing, in school.
Right.
They came up with a law that forbid that.
Right.
So they were
right.
very methodical about what they do. It's not simply about who has money. Knowledge is power. And if you can keep us away from knowledge and away from that's why they fought like hell. They come up with some stuff called critical race theory. And ain't a damn thing we're talking about theoretically. That's theoretical about what we're talking about. They are fighting like hell to keep knowledge and pride out of the African-American psyche. And that is what's fueling this whole thing.
And you know what? People don't understand back in the 50s, where black people could only eat, there was the law. Under the states where black people can only eat vanilla ice cream on Sundays. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. There was laws. I mean, black people came back from World War II victorious, and there was government laws that said black people could not move into white people's suburban neighborhoods.
Right. That's right. And see, what kills me is that You look at the Jim Crow laws where, this is what blows my mind. And I tell people this. Listen, they had black bathrooms. Everything was segregated, okay? So, back then, 50s, 40s, as long as we can remember, we're segregated. So once we start, we were okay with that. We had our own banks. We had our own Wall Street. So if you don't want us interacting or mingling with you, then you let, and we're doing our own thing, then why do you come into our neighborhoods and burn them down and destroy like Tulsa? Why? We had our, you don't want us to play with you? Why? Okay, we don't play with you. We get our own thing. But when we start making
successful, if you're a failure, they don't have to burn you down. They can wait for you to kill each other. It's only when you're successful. When they banned Lift Every Voice and Sing, there weren't no white folk schools with one or two black people in there starting off the day singing Lift Every Voice and Sing. What the hell do you care what we see in a black school? We ain't singing Kill All the Whiteys We See. We're singing Lift Every Voice. Lift Every Voice and Sing. But they made a law. They didn't make any. Case in point. We talk about music. Doja Cat. And this went under the radar. I actually posted the video with her making this song. And some people will have to excuse the words I use, but this is the words of the song. And it's proudly brought to you by Vivo. We're proud that we brought this thing. Okay. Doja Cat has this song called Niggas Ain't Shit.
Right.
And Doja Cat is a very pretty brown skin girl.
Right.
But
who made her? She made her bone. She got popular on TikTok.
She got popular on TikTok. But let me tell you what the ironic part of this is. Okay, she makes this song, Niggas Ain't Shit. It's proudly brought to you by Vivo. Okay? Doja Cat's father is Zulu.
Right.
And Doja Cat's mother is Jewish American.
Right.
Doja Cat is not from Puerto Rico or the Dominican Republic. Her father is Zulu. And her mother is Jewish American.
Right.
Which means that Doja Cat is a Jew. If your mother's a Jew, you're a Jew.
Then you're a Jew.
You're a Jew by birth. Right of birth. Okay.
Right.
Doja Cat makes a song, Niggas Ain't Shit.
Okay.
And white corporations are proud to bring this. And young black gays who love her like they worship Patti LaBelle love Doja Cat and what she's doing, and they defend her every step of the way for making this song. But this is the ironic part. Like I said, Doja Cat is a Jew.
Right.
Imagine if you substituted the word Jew for nigger.
Right. Right.
And made a song, Jews Ain't Shit. Now, Doja Cat is a Jew. But how long do you think her career would last?
She would have a career.
She would not have a career. She would not have a career. And just like they are in the act, in the process of destroying DaBaby for making statements about AIDS or something. I don't think he actually said the word gay or homosexual or faggot or whatever. He never said it, but he did say, if you ain't got AIDS or, you know, some crazy stuff, some goofball stuff. It's all goofball stuff, you know. And it's more problematic to people like me than it is to them. But they're in the process of destroying his career. He's apologized for this thing over and over and over again. And yet, he comes from a world where they pay you by the nigger, and I can call the nigger every 30 seconds. And nobody.
Right. And you're paying a lot of money for it.
30 seconds a song.
That's right.
Money. Millions of dollars. But you can't say anything about anyone else ever.
Right.
And nobody gets that the joke is on us.
Right. And then the scary part is, look at the LGBT community. They're a powerful group of people. They don't like to be labeled, but yet they have a lot of labels.
And
that blows
my
mind.
And yet, some of the biggest defenders of Doja Cat's lyrics, niggas and shit, and I actually like it. I think she's talented. I think you know, she's beautiful. She's talented. I don't think she really should go that route. You know, I'm not even sure if that enhanced her career at all. But they vehemently. I'm talking about black gays. Now wait a minute.
Right.
Wait a minute. Your ugly black ass is, I don't mind. I don't mind fighting white supremacist crackers. You know,
right.
But I don't expect to have to keep them on the back ass while I'm doing it.
Right. Right. And that's what kills me. Is it generational? But I hear black people singing
Doja Cat song. And I'm like, guys, don't you even get that? If she would have said Jews ain't shit, if she would have said gays or homosexuals ain't shit, her career would be
She didn't even have to say Jews ain't shit. She could have said Heinies ain't shit. And most people wouldn't know a Heinie from
what Heinie is, right.
I didn't even know what the hell that was. And I come from Harlem. We never used the phrase Heinie town. We never said that. I was a grown man before I knew that they called Washington D.C. Chocolate City.
And I grew up. I knew that from I grew up in D.C. when I was 13. We always considered D.C. No, D.C. was known Chocolate City, in a vanilla suburb. And now,
but I'm from Harlem, and when you're from New York and Harlem. You really don't. Everything else to you is down south. Everything and everybody. Chicago is down south somewhere. We didn't know any of that stuff. I didn't know that Guido was offensive. I knew that Snoop was something Jews said, but I didn't know what the hell it meant. I had never heard the phrase.
Well, like the Italian, what it was, like the Italians used to call black, was it bouillon?
Moolies. Moolies.
Moolies.
I didn't know that. I knew. There was a couple of phrases I knew. I knew that Puerto Ricans was spick, and I knew Italians was gimme. We didn't
White
is honky or crackers.
Right,
honky
or crackers. But crackers, but people, there's some white people find that cracker, the word cracker, was racist. But cracker had nothing to do with race. Cracker came from the master cracking the whip over slaves' back.
That is race. And what are abominations to you and me are fond memories to this guy. This guy, I mean, down south, they call themselves redneck and cracker and good
redneck,
old boy.
Right.
You know,
good
that's
boy,
how
yeah.
they defend each other. They have no problem with naming their groups Florida Georgia Line and Lady
the Florida Georgia Line, right.
You know,
right.
Antebellum.
Right.
How can you put antebellum? But that's a fond memory. That's orange blossoms. That's when the niggas was happy. They was in the field and they was happy.
Right.
And they was working and they was singing. And we was kind of a niggas. You know, we didn't have no problems. until y'all tried to do some fancy stuff and send them to New York and Chicago
and get educated.
That's when everything went to hell. You know, niggas was happy here. You know,
you stirring them up. Don't come down here from up north.
That's all you're doing. Right? You mongrel, yellow, half breed nigga. I didn't come here and stirred up trouble for the happy niggas.
but Nat, let me ask you this. I find that I know I'm gonna get some crap for this. Our black people in the South seem to be in the North.
Yes. And that is a departure because if you look in especially the 50s and the 60s, the South were producing more educated blacks than anywhere else in the world. I mean,
right?
But they were rooted in the black church, and there was a value system. Somewhere along the line, and this is after the 60s, this is after they
right.
killed Martin Luther King, after they killed Malcolm and Medgar Evers, and started saturating the East and the Midwest with drugs, with heroin and violence to stem the tide of black political awareness. Everything slowly crept back into slavery time ignorance.
Big time.
The first ended up the last. And the South, who were producing more PhDs and more college-educated, focused Negroes than anyone, suddenly turned back into, like, swamp people, you know, and just like now it's just a mess.
Why do you think?
Oh, because white supremacy is shrewd and it's forward thinking. It understood what was coming at it, Adam. As a matter of fact, heroin in the black community had dire repercussions in the white community, but it was necessary.
Right.
It was an aggressive act of war, and it was designed to do two things: to stem the tide of a black messiah, get rid of the Martin Luther King types, and kill the political awareness that was starting in young black people. Young black people. The civil rights era, the 60s had leadership which were grown people, but the core was young people.
Yes.
School-age people, college kids. This was the core of the civil rights movement. So we talk about Dr. King, and we talk about the influence of Malcolm X and Medgar Evers. But what we don't talk about is the influence and the vision of people like Ella Baker, who young people learn from and learn how to cope and deal with a movement of black forward progression. And that was coming into college. Ruby Dee used to be right at Ella Baker's side. I mean, all of those people. Martin King's whole crew came from
Ozzie
Ella
Davis.
Baker.
Ozzie Davis, Ruby Dee.
But whole crew, Julian Bond and what was the other light skinned dude?
Something the mayor. What was his name? He was the mayor. He used to be the mayor of Atlanta.
He was the mayor of Atlanta, he worked under the Clinton administration. But all of those people learned from Ella Baker.
That's right.
In college. So when they came out young and smart and ready to help to lead a movement.
Right.
We don't
but
have
see, that's
that
how,
anymore.
But see, this is how clever the white supremacy movement was, because they saw that, you know, we were producing scholars. So rap music was the savior and the continuation of white supremacy, because they grabbed these young black kids, say, okay, you know what? For every nigga you say, I'm going to give you millions of dollars. So we were so fucking uneducated that that's just like putting drugs in our community. That's no different to me than putting drugs in our community, because they said, okay, you know what? Let's take the young and let's give them millions of dollars to you know, talk about their own race. And they succeeded. It was Maynard Jackson. He was Atlanta mayor.
I'm not talking about Maynard. I'm talking about it was Julian Bond and what's the other brother? What's the other?
I know. Wait. No, not Carl. Not Carl Stokes. No.
No.
You know what? It's gonna kill me. He worked under Bill Clinton as well, right?
He worked
under
Bill Clinton. He was some sort of ambassador with Bill Clinton.
I know people.
I want you to realize something. The reason why white supremacy is so nimble, the reason why white supremacy is so effective, is that the KKK is not the head of white supremacy.
Right, right.
The Nazi Party is not the head of white supremacy.
Nope.
The head of white supremacy is the United States government itself.
Yes, sir.
And it could not function without the assist of the United States government. So all of those redlining laws that they imposed upon black people, all of the things that they implemented to keep black people dependent and not moving forward, basically
Andrew Young.
Now, there you got it, brother. Andrew Young. That's exactly who I'm talking about. All of these laws and implementation of laws were all basically at the direction of the United States government. The FBI spent far more time destroying black organizations, black civil rights organizations, than it ever did catching criminals.
Right. Because you know what? The FBI thought the Black Panthers were a terrorist group.
Correct.
And they weren't.
The FBI had Dr. King as the most dangerous man in America.
Yep. In the world. Yep.
That's what
they
FBI said.
They did that to Malcolm too. Yeah.
I can understand white folks like freaking out over Malcolm. I can understand white folks freaking out over the Panthers. But Dr. King was the most reasonable, the best hope that white people had, if they were sincere, which they never were, but if they were sincere about turning the page, Martin was their man. Well, Martin was their man. Martin was not coming down. Martin was not coming with judgment. He was not saying hold grudges. He was saying, let's move forward. Martin was more of an asset to white America than he was to black America, because Martin was their way out. He was like soap to white folks. He was their ability to finally wash themselves clean of all the dirty shit they did.
Because Martin gave them, essentially says, you know what, I'm going to give you a pass if you give us equality.
He gave them a pass.
Yeah.
He gave
and
them a pass.
And Malcolm was like, yeah, and Malcolm did the opposite. And you know what?
We don't give them a pass.
I know, right?
Yeah, we they're desperately looking for the past, a past. That's why they label this stuff critical race theory. There's nothing theoretical about this. The Facebook fact checkers. We need some public school fact checkers up in this board.
But you know what? But we as black people, you know, I'm going to tell black people, listen, we don't need the approval of white people. We've been doing it. And see, you know, there's not a masses of black people that live in the North. The masses live in the South. And for some reason, these Negroes in the South still in that mindset that they need the approval of massa.
Yes. Yes.
And
is shrewd. You know, they like little boys compared to massa. Really, they just way out of their league. And that comes from being removed from your ancestors and removed from your teachers, removing themselves.
Right.
They keep saying, y'all didn't leave us a perfect world. We weren't supposed to leave you at your ass a perfect world.
Right.
They pretend like every song that goes nigga, nigga, nigga suddenly makes you like, the Nation of Islam, you know.
Right.
What is going on here? You know, they really believe, you know, Jay-Z believes he's some sort of civil rights leader. Because he said, according to him, he made, like, nigga a kinder and gentler phrase, you know.
Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. You know what? And this is what
bullshit.
And this is what the younger black people, you know, because Jay-Z said it, then it's gospel. What the fuck?
You know, because white people are shrewd. Just like the Jewish guy came and offered a deal to NWA and broke them up. White media organizations, white media, white entertainment, pay black people by the nigger and the bitch.
And the hoe.
You can put them all together too. You know. Right. The next time you're dating a black girl and say they love hip hop, just say, oh, get out of here, nigga, bitch, hoe.
And you know what? And you know what? The scary part about it. The entertainment industry, this is what's ironic, well, maybe, or not. The entertainment industry, be it record, be it TV, be it film, is run by Jews. It's run by Jews.
And it's fueled by Negroes. And when I say Negroes, I mean, I'm not even talking about, like, ignorant down south Negroes. There is a core of HBCU niggas.
Absolutely. The worst kind.
And they identify, they swear to God they're hip-hop. You know. And some of them are Harvard graduates, and they swear they're hip-hop, you know, hip-hop for life, you know. And one day, I'd like to ask one of them, well, let me see your phone. Let me see what music is in your phone. You just love hip-hop. What hip-hop artists you into? I got to know this so I can tell the board of Harlem, you know.
Right.
I can tell the Harlem board, you
right.
know.
Right.
That big star professor is sitting around listening to Tekashi 6ix9ine or whatever the hell, you know.
Right. Right.
I'm lying, you lying ass back. You ain't got no songs. I mean,
he doesn't even listen to it.
He ain't right. He don't even listen to him. I got some Miranda Lambert on my
game.
Right. You don't listen to nobody. You don't know nothing about iTunes. You don't know nothing about you don't listen to no songs on YouTube. You don't
right.
You just a damn liar. You know?
Right.
Because hey, you can lie to me. You know,
that's exactly right.
And I think I'm an idiot, and I believe the crap you're saying.
Right.
You know?
But if you notice, Nat, when hip hop came out, we talked about LL, Grandmaster, Run DMC, DJ, what's his name? All those guys never used those derogatory. It wasn't until N.W.A. That all those guys, LL never cursed, Grandmaster, what's the guy with the patch over his eye? All those guys never degraded.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Slick Rick.
None of those guys degraded.
It doesn't even matter what they said, even if they were cursing. In point of fact, the people who said they loved hip hop went out and bought hip-hop. Usually they bought it bootleg in the street, but they actually put their money where they said their belief system was. They love this stuff. So they went out and they bought bootleg tapes.
out of a back of a trunk.
Out of the back of a car truck on 125th Street.
Yep.
They asked all it is, too. Lying-ass HBCU Negroes swearing to God on HBO that they love hip-hop. And I'm like, well, let me see your telephone. Where you keep your music?
listen to Bronx. Don't have one hip-hop. Not one hip-hop song.
Not one record. You ain't got no hip-hop. You ain't got Barbara Streisand. You ain't you ain't got Vicky Gillespie. You ain't got nothing. You don't even patronize music, you lying bastard.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You get on TV and you try to soup me up because you figure HBO will kick you over a couple of bucks and, you know.
Right.
That's
what it's all about.
I know more about hip-hop than you do, at least the white boy on MSNBC. Actually, have listened to some Wu-Tang Clan and stuff. You don't know nothing. You don't even know who's on hip-hop. If they ask you, well, who do you listen to? I don't know. I listen to them all.
That's exactly right, Nat. Hold on. You're listening to Conversations with Greg Lasser and Nat Wood here at G-Radio New York City, where you can find your classic soul and R&B music. And you guys, you know, every time I get with this genius, Nat Wood is that man. And I'm guys, I got to tell you this, guys. Everybody knows me. I don't look up to anybody. But I got to say, Nat Wood, because he's older for sure, but he's much, seriously. I got to throw that in there. You know I have to throw that in there.
Older than you. Not me.
But Nat, let me ask you this. What is the plight of the black race?
Oh, right now we kind of in a pickle. but it doesn't matter. There are a lot of folks, we seem to be divided into subsections. And every subsection has a different mission. And to me, each mission is not doable, you know.
Right.
My ultimate goal, the only thing I see working, that can work, is the end of white supremacy.
Right.
Now, the end of white supremacy is coming because it is not simply an attack from black people. It is the resurgence, the impending overtaking of all non-white people into positions of power, especially in the United States of America. And there's no way around it. So,
right.
I'm not even talking about like replacing white supremacy with black supremacy. First of
right.
all, it's too
right.
much work to be superior to everybody.
Right.
That is not my goal. My goal is removing your ass as the face of God on
right.
And
right.
that is happening with me or without me.
Right.
Now, Africans and most, the vast majority of people of color, quote unquote of color, are
right.
people from African diaspora. Most
right.
of them won't admit it because white supremacy has them ashamed to say that there's African in it, you know.
Right.
So you have a whole lot of, like, Caribbeans, you know, that say they, like, you know, biracial and all sorts of stuff, doing everything
right.
they can to not admit they're black.
Right,
right. I am of a certain age where they didn't even give you the option. You couldn't not be a Negro. You know, they just like stamped it on your birth certificate. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm with you. We're the same. I'm right.
Right. You didn't even have
when I was born.
Yeah, no. Well, Negro look like
another man.
Okay, Negro, where's his mama?
Yeah. Absolutely, right.
But there's no way around that. There's so many people. There's so many brown people, quote unquote brown people, who are
right.
coming out of American universities. With master's degrees, and they're joining the military, and they're running for political office, that the face of America itself is
right.
ever changing.
Right.
White supremacy is white people are becoming extinct just
right.
because that is the way nature planned. You know, if
right.
nature
That's
was
right.
white people in perpetuity, he'd have made y'all a little more sturdy than you are. You know?
Oh my God. All right, we're running out of time. All right, listen, I want to talk about the eviction moratorium is expiring.
Oh, very good. Very good. Very good.
That
good.
Is a big deal. That's a big deal. What's going to happen, Nat?
Well, evictions are fueling a lot of things. They are part and parcel to the resurgence of the COVID epidemic.
Right.
You know, a lot of money went out to a lot of states specifically earmarked to get into the hands of people who were facing eviction. And landlords were having difficulty paying their bills, still maintaining their bills and upkeeping their property because there was a severe loss of revenue coming in and they were not able to turn it over. And somehow, these ass buckets, managed to oversee the deaths of a lot of old people in nursing homes and not give money to people when they had the money to people facing eviction.
Right.
Now they are desperate to do something about the moratorium that has already run out and get the money into the hands of desperate people. You know how desperate people are? People are so desperate, and they know this. People are so desperate that they are willing to give out a lousy-ass $100 and a whole buttload full of people are getting the vaccine just to get their hands on $100.
Just to get $100. That is $100. Bro,
you know,
that right there
is disrespectful. It's disrespectful. It shows what kind of squeeze they have on us. And it also shows that they know they ain't got a squeeze on
it. Right. And nothing we can do about it. People can't do shit about it.
Well, they're wrong about that. We're going to get rid of it.
No, I know, but here's the thing, Nat. We're looking, New York alone, facing a huge, huge eviction rate. Huge. Huge. And where are these people going to go, Nat?
Well, poor people are resilient. They're going to find ways to survive poverty. A lot of them are going to end up in prison. Some will die. Some will end up in prison. Some will move.
Because we already have a high rate
to survive.
We have a high rate of homelessness as it is.
They have to understand that what they are more than anything else are not neglected people. There's a lot of attention focused on them. What they really are casualties of war. And until they understand that and make a way that their children are better equipped to fight and succeed this war, there's a lot of us who, are done. You know, I mean, we have reached the age and we have stayed broke and ignorant so long that ain't no pot of gold waiting for our ass.
However,
our children are open books. They can do anything if somebody somewhere would just, let them know that nothing can hold you back but yourself, and I will be with you every step of the way. They neglect us. We neglect our children. We have to take an active stand in making sure that our children are strong enough and smart enough and focused enough to do the job that they knocked us out of.
Right. That's right. You're absolutely right.
I also want to say before we go, Dr. Renoko Rashidi passed yesterday. Rest in peace to him. Glenn Ford of Black Agenda Report passed away last year. Not last year. last week.
Last month. We got to it.
Yeah. He was only 71 years old. He was younger than you, Greg. He was like 10 or 15 years younger than you.
Younger than me, but older than you.
Dr. Rich, he was younger than 10 or 15 years younger than you.
10 or 15. Oh, my God. Okay.
You never know.
You stupid. You ain't right. You know you're right. Guys, I want to thank everybody. Matt, thank you so much, brother. I appreciate you so much. I love you. And, guys, let me tell you, we're still on TV, guys. Hopefully, in the near future, I want to say before this year is out, we're going to be in our own studio, 30 Frames. He's going to do his own thing live again. And until then, we're doing Zoom. So, you guys, we're going to do a show tomorrow at 1 o'clock. So you guys will see it next week after Nat puts his, as I call it, his stink on it. Because when he puts his stink on it, it becomes a masterpiece. So, Nat, I want to thank you, brother. Thank you so much. I love you, man. And I will talk to you tomorrow.
God bless you, brother. Thank you for everything.
All right, brother. All right. Peace.
Thank you.
To Conversations with Greg Lassiter and Nat Wood here at G Radio in New York City, where you can find your classic soul and R&B music, the music for your soul. I want to thank everybody for listening to us tonight. I'm sorry I couldn't take your calls because, you know, taking calls kind of disrupts our whole groove. But I want to thank everybody for watching. I keep getting texts and stuff like that. Tomorrow we will be on TV doing 30 frames a second. And guys, you know what? We live in a cruel world, so we need to take care of one another and love one another. Let the grudges go. Stay positive, the whole nine yards. Again, thank everybody for listening. I love you guys. I'll be back this week with The Quiet Storm with yours truly, and I'll have guests. Until then, guys, we're going to go out with, you know, The Quiet Storm. I love you guys. Remember this. Shoot for the moon. If you miss, you are still among the stars. Peace. I'm out.
Quiet Storm with Greg Lassiter.
You sure say-